Greetings, Cornerstone family. It's February the 22nd, and we are in the midst of this Read by Easter campaign together. And I want to say thank you for joining with us. Those of you that are downloading the podcast every day, we can see we've had the podcast downloaded in a couple of different countries, and I think 12 different states at this point. And so we're getting good traction with this and hope that you're enjoying gathering together in this way on a daily basis. We're going to do these podcasts during the weekdays and take a break on the weekends since we gather together for corporate worship. But let me just encourage you, if you've not been in service, I want to challenge and encourage you to get here next Sunday. We are just having incredible times of worship on Sunday mornings as we talk about worship together, as we practice the various postures of worship. It's just been really a powerful time as we've gathered together. We're seeing new and old friends each and every Sunday. This past Sunday, we saw some folks who haven't been here in the entire pandemic that got vaccinated and are now back with us in person on Sundays, and some new folks that are visiting that have been watching online. And so it's just great. I just want to encourage you to make plans to be here next Sunday. And if you're not using it already, go to readbyeaster.com/worship. And I've really been enjoying this worship playlist that was put together for us by our worship team, and just encourage you to use that. And if you don't have a physical copy of the plan, you can find that at readbyeaster.com/plan. And so I want to talk to you today out of Mark chapter 14, and I want to give a little bit of clarity. For the first few days, we were all kind of tracking along together in the Gospels, the New Testament, those that were reading the entire Bible, even the kids' plan. We were all kind of tracking together. But now we start to get off track because the New Testament plan is more accelerated. And so I'm going to go back and forth. Today, I'm going to talk to you about the reading from the Gospel plan. Tomorrow, we'll read something from the New Testament plan where we're already in Paul's epistles. And so I just want to tell you what's going on. So we may jump around from time to time. But today, we're in Mark chapter 14, and I want to begin reading in verse 12. It's the story of the Last Supper. We'll read this a couple of times. Those of you that are reading the New Testament and the Gospels, you'll read it a couple more times. It's in Paul in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and a couple other places in the Gospels. But it's a really important passage that we celebrate every second Sunday of the month. So here coming up in a few weeks, we're going to be doing this together. But this is the origin of what we do on Communion Sunday. So I want to read it to you from the New Living Translation, Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus' disciples ask him, "Where do you want us to go to prepare the Passover meal for you?" So Jesus sent two of them into Jerusalem with these instructions. As you go into the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, "The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?" He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare our meal. So the two disciples went into the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. In the evening, Jesus arrived with the 12. As they were at the table eating, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, one of you eating here with me will betray me." Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, "Am I the one?" He replied, "It is the one of you 12 who is eating from this bowl with me, for the Son of Man must die, as the scriptures declared long ago, but how terrible it would be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born." As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people, as it is poured out as a sacrifice for many. I tell you the truth, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new in the kingdom of God." This is an interesting passage for me because I think that we are wired as human beings. I think it's a human instinct that we mark significant moments with significant meals. I think back to my childhood, and I remember distinctly certain Christmas meals. I remember distinctly certain Thanksgiving meals. I remember certain birthday celebrations that were all revolving around the shared experience of a meal together. And so I don't think it's an accident that this is a Passover meal that Jesus has this conversation with his disciples, because I think we're wired to have community together. We're wired to have meals together, to have those remembrances together, and that something about our bodies being fed and also something about our minds and our spirits being connected around a table makes it significant and memorable. And I can't tell you how many times I'm sitting with ministry friends, and we'll think back and we'll say, do you remember that time we went to this place and we shared a meal together? And we talk about what it all meant, and maybe an initiative that was founded in that meal, or an idea that was birthed at that meal. And so this is a significant meal for Jesus and his disciples. It's the Passover meal, so it's something they would have celebrated every year during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The only way that I would know to equate it to our modern day Christian walk is it would be something like a family Christmas meal or a family Thanksgiving tradition. It was a tradition that they had, that they did together every year. It was a big moment. It's one of the big festivals on the Jewish calendar. And so it was memorable in and of itself to have a Passover meal together. And it was planned. They had a place set out. The disciples went ahead to prepare the meal. But there was something unique about this. Now, there's a couple of significant things about the Passover meal. Mark, in the translation that we read, the New Living Translation, doesn't say it. But we find out other places in Scripture that they were reclining at the table. And there's something significant about this, because the Passover meal that this is remembering or celebrating was when the children of Israel left captivity in Egypt. And the reason they have unleavened bread is because they left in such a hurry that they couldn't wait for the bread to rise. And so to remember that moment, they have unleavened bread together, bread that hasn't risen, a flat bread, if you will. And so they were on the run. And so it's significant that they're reclining at the table, because people who are free, people who have been freed from slavery, they don't just sit and eat, they recline. They lay back. They are laid back, literally, physically, they are laid back. And so it is the opposite of the posture that they would have had when they were on the run from Egypt. But they walk through this Passover meal together. And some of you have experienced a Passover meal, a Jewish Passover Seder together. You know what that's like. But at various points in the meal, there are prayers that are prayed. There are prayers that are chanted. There are songs that are sung. But this Passover meal, Jesus does something unique. He changes the meal. And this doesn't happen. This would be like showing up at Thanksgiving meal and your grandmother saying, hey, I decided not to make turkey and homemade noodles and mashed potatoes. I decided instead we would all have fried rice, or we'll all have meatloaf. It just wasn't done. The Passover meal was the same every time. And so for Jesus to change what is said during the meal would have jolted the disciples' attention. And so I told you in Mark chapter 1 that Mark was like a glass of cold water splashed in a sleeping person's face. This is another glass of cold water. It is something that is surprising. It is something that gets their attention. And so that's something that they would remember. And I promise you that years after this, when Jesus dies, is resurrected, and ascends into heaven, years after this, the disciples, when they got together, they sat around and they said, do you remember that night that we got together for the Passover meal? And Jesus switched it all up. He changed it all up. So we're drawn to what did Jesus change? And the two things he changes are with the bread. There would normally be things that would be said about the bread and how they left in a hurry. They left Egypt and there wasn't time for the bread to rise. But instead, Jesus says, take this bread, and when you take it, know that it's my body. In some translations, in some accounts, it says, this is my body, which is broken for you. And so it is a very real physical illustration that Jesus is getting ready to lay down his body. Now, again, the disciples weren't ready for this. This is not what they expected in a Messiah. They didn't expect a Messiah to have a broken body. They expected a Messiah to reign and to rule. They expected a Messiah to take charge. And so this is a rather unique moment. And then Jesus takes the cup after supper and he gives it to the disciples. He prays over it and he says, this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It's poured out as a sacrifice for many. And so it is this moment when the disciples' minds are blown, because this is not what Jesus is supposed to say in the Passover meal, but it's also not what a Messiah is supposed to say. A Messiah is not supposed to talk about dying. A Messiah is not supposed to die. A Messiah is supposed to take over and take charge. And so once again, we see that the kingdom that Jesus is inaugurating is flipping our expectations on their head, that this is not what we expect. And so I want to challenge you and encourage you today to not make Jesus in your own image. That's what the disciples had done. They had decided in their minds what the Messiah was going to look like. And I think sometimes we do the same thing. We picture what God should do, what God should be like, what Jesus should be like. And often Jesus upsets our expectations. He certainly upset the expectations of the disciples. He flipped everything on its head and he said, I am going to die. This is my body poured out as a sacrifice. This is my blood poured out as a sacrifice. And so this is that moment that the disciples begin to get it. Because over the next few hours, it all becomes very real. And they realize Jesus was not talking to them in a parable. Jesus was not talking to them metaphorically. Jesus was talking very literally that his body was going to be broken for them. His blood was going to be shed for them. And this is a good reminder for us that Jesus gave himself for us. We talked about it yesterday in service, that God gave a great gift when he gave his son. That God gave, and because God gave, we give. Because God gave, we respond. When we were sinners, Paul says, Christ died for us. And so maybe you need that reminder this Monday morning. I don't know about you, but Mondays are sometimes difficult for me. But if you start Monday right, maybe the week will go right. And so I want to challenge and encourage you today that Jesus gave himself up for you. He flipped everything on its head. So don't come into Jesus with this notion of what he ought to do for you, but rather understand what he has already done for you. He has already given up his life for you. He already gave up his life as a ransom for your sins. So let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you did for us at Calvary. Thank you for the fact that before it even happened, you told us what was going to happen at that Passover meal. You told the disciples and they recounted it to us over and over again that the bread is your body, that the cup is your blood. And we thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us. Jesus, you upset the expectations of your disciples. You turned them on its head because that's what the kingdom does. And we confess to you that there are times, Jesus, that we have expectations for you, that we want you to fulfill a certain role we want you to fulfill, a certain way we want you to act. But Jesus, you have already done everything that was needed on our behalf. You laid down your life for our sins. And so we thank you for it. We thank you for this day and for this week in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great Monday.